Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, do you have team updates for us?
No, we just, getting through spring. You know, we are three practices in weather. I'm not sure where everybody is that listens to the show around the country, but we got hit with about 7 inches on Saturday. And then we end up having to cancel our Sunday practice and our Monday practice. So I'm actually looking at the field right now. Looks like we're going to be able to get out there tomorrow for practice. So we'll end up making those practices up, later on in spring. You know, we should be hitting the 60s. And I look for next week, high 60s and low 70s. So we should be good. So we just, guys are, we're obviously a little disappointed about not having a Sunday practice. But, hey, such is life. And I told the guys, we'll make it up. Don't worry. So.
Well, let's jump in and talk about those practices. And we'll start with Jim, who would like to know. He says, Coach, during these spring practices, do you focus mainly on the different position groups, or is it more about coaching the whole team at one time?
Well, we break it up, and everything you want to do is in a teaching progression. So each position coach, where we're at right now, going into practice number four, we're talking about stance and starts every day, eye discipline, hand placement, footwork. So we get a chance to do, anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes with just receivers, with their position coach, DBs, with the position coach. And then we'll branch off into bigger groups as far as, the quarterbacks and the running backs getting together, quarterbacks and receivers getting together, DBs and the linebackers getting together, D-line and the linebackers getting together. So it's all a progression. It's just a progression. So a lot of individual work. But then you do get a chance to get into some team, more like football things too as well.
Yeah, I'm wondering from you, Coach, during the season, I gather that most of practice is geared towards your upcoming opponent and the scheme that you want to put in place. So does spring practice give you the opportunity to focus on kind of little details, like things like you talk about footwork or hand movements? Yeah. Do you get to focus more on those kind of things at this time?
Yeah, and you know what? The challenge is, well, yes, in spring, absolutely, right? Because we're not playing a game on Saturday. You're right. I told the guys, I guarantee you we're going to win the spring. We're going to win the spring game. Okay. I don't make guarantees, but I guarantee when we start, we will win the spring game. Okay. Now, when it gets to the season, what I've always battled back and forth on is how much are you working your fundamentals? And talking to my former DBs coach, who's actually was with the Panthers and now he's with the 49ers, Coach Wilkes. And I pick his brain every summer. He said, Chip, you got to make sure you're getting your 30 minutes individual. And, even if it's week one to week 12, week 16, for us would be really week 12. NFL plays 17, 18 weeks with a bye. He said, hey, they're always working their fundamentals when he was with the Panthers. So kind of taking that philosophy that we're going to get 30 minutes of work so we don't lose those things. But, you do have to focus more on, more on scheme and how you're trying to stop an opponent slash what you want to do to attack an opponent from a special teams and obviously offensive standpoint. So.
Marcus would like to know, what are you seeing from spring camp that has you excited about where the team is at?
Just coming out of our winter and the amount of running we did, the leadership classes, guys are excited to be out there. Our quarterbacks are picking up the new system, which I'm really excited about. Our offensive line is getting a lot of quality work with Coach Harris, a former NFL Vikings player, was over at Mac. We were able to scoop him up last year. Our sacks went down last year in 2022, so I'm excited. And he didn't have a spring with these guys, so I'm excited for him to have a whole spring with them. Hopefully our sacks will go down and we'll run the ball a little bit better. DB-wise, one of the things that I'm really, really, really focused on this year is, being closer on routes and understanding situations. I did a poor job of coaching it up with our guys last year, so that's main focus in the secondary, being closer on routes and understanding situations. Linebackers are flowing and moving well in our defensive line. Although we've graduated three main pieces, I like the way Coach Greenwald is operating with those guys and getting them to fit their gaps. So, it's a lot of positives right now. But, again, it's day, right? We're only three days in. So I'm looking forward to day four, and then we'll have Easter break, and then we'll get back out there and we'll hit it pretty hard.
We have two questions for you from Phil. The first is that he would like to know, do you think that spring practice is too long, too short, or just right?
It's just right. When I was a player, it was 15 practices. We got 15 practices then. So that was, over 20 years ago? So it has not increased. I think that's just about right with no game. There's only so much banging against each other you can do, before it gets unproductive. That's why we do a lot of work with the individual stuff and trying to get really good on our fundamentals and our technique. So I think it's perfect. I think it's just enough.
He'd also like to know, are there any rule changes that you would like to see geared towards spring practice that would make them better?
You know what? When I first got to this level at Division III, so here's the deal. At the Division I level, you can be 15 practices. There's a certain amount of days you can be helmets, certain amount of days helmet shoulder pads. At the Division I level, you can put full pads on, and they give you a certain amount of days where you can tackle to the ground. When I first got to, and that's not the way, and that's not how it is at Division III. At Division III, when I first got here in 2013, we were allowed still 16 practices, but it was t-shirt and shorts. You know, it wasn't even no ball. You know, and then they allowed us to have a ball, and then they allowed us to have helmets and shoulder pads. Actually, starting last spring. So it's ideally if we could be in real football. You know, having pants on at some portion of the spring, that'd be great. But hey. You know, the Division III way right now is you get 16 days of helmets and 4 days of helmet shoulder pads. So we're going to embrace it. We're going to, we're going to take advantage of every one of those helmet and shoulder pad practices, and we're going to get better when we just have helmets on. So,
Chandra would like to know, have you had recruits at spring practice, and what have they thought of what they have seen so far?
We have. We had a couple. That they like the energy. They like the way guys are wanting to play for each other and how they see guys encouraging. With some of the feedback we got. Now, we do have a big spring junior recruiting day, April 22nd. So I'm excited to see how that's going to go. Because the recruits that we've had on campus now, they've only seen a helmet practice. I'm excited for them to see a helmet shoulder pad practice and watch our guys get after it and compete a little bit. So, yeah, we've had some solid feedback from some recruits that have been on campus.
When a person has committed themselves to come to Hamlin next year, do you find that a lot of those players come out to spring practice just so they get an idea of what it looks like to be on the team?
Yeah, our local guys, absolutely. Our Minnesota, Wisconsin guys are constantly extending the olive branch for them to come on out and take a look at it because this is what they're going to be getting into next fall. A little tough for the Cali, Arizona, Colorado guys, which – Coach Harris is doing a great job in California right now. I looked on the board this morning. We had another kid commit. I think we're at like 7 or 8 kids from Cali, man, and he hasn't even had a full cycle. So we're super excited. The second time I said his name on this podcast, and Coach Harris is doing a great job. So the kids from distance, obviously it's going to be a little tough for them to get a flight just to come watch practice. But our local kids will get out and take a peek.
Jumping to other Hamlin sports, Dan says the baseball team's off to a tough start, Coach, this season. You have any words of wisdom for them?
Yeah, actually just ran into Coach Wyatt in the hallway. He had his head up. You know, I just told him, hey, it's early. There's a lot of ball left. So, you know, just make sure, you know, and again, he does a great job, man, of keeping those guys sharp, fresh, positive. They do a great job. I actually kind of pick his brain on some team building, team bonding, leadership things because he's always had a great program as far as when it comes to those things. So they're off to a slow start. They're going to be fine. They're going to be just fine. And CHS is a tough place to play, man. So when the weather gets right and we get down into CHS, that's going to be a tough venue to play. And I can't wait to get out and support and watch those guys get some wins this year.
Staying with baseball, Raymond would like to know what you think of the Twins' chances this season.
Wow, man. I mean, I want to say, gosh, I hope I'm not wrong. I think they're off to a 3-0 start. My Phillies are off to an 0-3 start, so I'm a little upset about that. But the Twins are off to a 3-0 start, I believe, and, hey, man, you got to take them one series at a time, you know. I'm not sure. I haven't never coached in the majors of baseball, but I'm assuming they're always trying to be win series, right? So the next series that they play, they're trying to be win two and lose one. You know, if you do that enough times, you'll be there in the end, man. So it's always going to come down to pitching, you know, in the middle of your defense. You know, how good are they at the catcher spot, shortstop, second base, and then center field. You know, it's going to come down to that, but. Again, I'm a diehard Phillies fan, but I'm here in Minnesota. I'm actually going to try and get to the game. They play the White Sox next Tuesday at 6:40. I'm going to try and get out and support them, man. That'll be fun. I really enjoy baseball, getting out, especially watching it live.
Chris would like to know, he wants to know if you're curious, he's curious if you are a devout follower of Minnesota sports teams or you just vote for them because you live here now.
I say this, I'm diehard Philly. I mean, that is, that runs through my blood. You know, I want to see that. Yeah, and we had a rough year last year with the Eagles not winning, the Phillies not winning, the soccer team not winning. So I kind of got, Coach Taylor's got all his chips poured into the Sixers. I'll say this, the town that you live in, even when I worked in Indiana, you know, you kind of follow the Chicago teams, you know, the Cubs, the White Sox, the Bears, you kind of follow them. I'd probably say I'm more engaged and follow the Timberwolves, the Twins, the Vikes, just because it's good. It's great when the city, it's good when teams are winning because the city and the Jazz level is high. You know, just like at a college venue. You know, if you're doing good, your football team is doing well. Man, that starts off the season. That starts off the school year great. You know, basketball. How about men's and women's basketball this year? Right, everybody's feeling good on campus. Can't wait for the next games. A couple years ago, we had a run in the NCAA tournament with women's hockey. You know, so I don't know, man. When the sports teams in the town are doing good, it just makes everything cool, man. And it makes you excited to want to watch a game. And I think the Timberwolves right now are, I think they're in the 10 or the 9 slot. So hopefully they can get into the playoffs and, you know, see if they can't win a series. So,
well, since you brought that up, Byron would like to know. He says the Timberwolves look like they're going to just sneak into the playoffs. What kind of chance do you give them once they're in that very tough Western Conference?
Man, the Western Conference is so stacked. But I tell you what, the Timberwolves got one thing on their side. They got a superstar. They got a superstar in Edwards, and he's a tough-minded superstar in Edwards. So they got to get in and then let the chips fall where they're going to fall. You know, not the last time, because they were in the playoffs against Memphis. But when they were in the playoffs, when Harding was with the Rockets, I remember somehow getting a ticket for that, and the atmosphere was just electric. So if they can get in, that'd be awesome for the city.
Theo would like to know. He says, Coach, Alabama quarterback Bryce Young is expected to go number one, but he is only 5'10". I thought you had to be like 6'2 to be a good NFL quarterback, so shouldn't his height preclude him from being taken first overall?
Well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. You know, somebody, we'll see. Now, these are all projected boards, right? But we'll see what somebody's general manager thinks. I'm not even sure who has the first pick, but whoever has the first, second or third pick, somebody's going to take that kid because they like what they saw / what he did in their pro days or in the combine. So again, and it's about system, right? Lamar Jackson fit for what, 4 or 5 years with the Baltimore Ravens, right? He fit in that system. For a while, Russell Wilson, he fit with what Seattle was doing. He was a shorter quarterback, you know, so it's just going to depend on the system. And, you know, are you going to have an offensive coordinator that's a little bit more geared to running a college-style offense? Now, I will say Alabama, from what just a little bit that I do know, I don't study them that much. I think they're a little bit more pro-style. That's why a lot of their offensive players have translated well into the NFL. So we'll see. You know, we'll see. But you do kind of worry about his size. I don't necessarily worry about his height, but I think he's only 100 and almost that kid's 180 pounds, and that scares me a little bit more than his height. You know, that scares me because, I mean, those are grown men. Those are grown men out there on Sundays, man. So that's the thing that, you know, I'd be a little bit concerned, like, you know, with the kid down at Miami, Tua. You know, he's a little bit slender frame build, and, you know, I think that's maybe coming back to bite him a little bit. So we'll see.
It's a very big, fast-grown man.
Exactly.
Michael would like to know, what is the best golf course you've ever golfed at?
There was one out in Stillwater that I played, and I shouldn't know the name. I only played it one time. You know what? Actually, I'm gonna backpedal. President Miller and I, we played at the Country Club one time in Minneapolis, and I'm not sure of the name. I think it might be called the Country Club, and that was a nice golf course. That was a really nice golf course. So I'd say that one. Yep.
Drew says, Coach, I know you are a cheesesteak guy, so where in the Twin Cities can you find an authentic Philly cheesesteak?
Oh, boy, I know people are going to hate me for this one because you can't really find a real authentic. The closest I've gotten is, there's a spot down in Dinkytown, and I should know the name of it. I'll get the name for you next week. It's a spot down in Dinkytown that's close to Burrito Loco. It's right on the corner. Maybe I think it's Frank's and Andrea's. They're close because they're bread. It's all about the bread with a cheesesteak, right? Everybody knows that. So the bread, I believe, when I first went in there, I asked him, I said, man, this is pretty close. He said, you know, they get the bread shipped in from the East Coast. But Frank's and Andrea's is pretty good. And then there's a spot out in Maplewood. It's Maplewood off of White Bear Lake. Off of White Bear Avenue. There's a spot close by the Buffalo Wild Wings. If you're going north, it's on your right-hand side. I think that name is, I can't remember the name of it. Maybe Tony, I can't remember the name of it, but their cheesesteaks are pretty solid, too. That's the best that I've found in 10 years. So,
Lewis says, Coach, this weather is absolutely crazy. Are you tired of shoveling snow yet?
Well, here's the issue. I embrace Minnesota. I embrace the bold north. Shoveling snow, it is what it is. The issue is when you get that heart attack snow like we got on Saturday. Like, that was heavy, wet snow, man. So that concerns me because you got, you know, people, myself included, man. You don't want to get a heart attack out there shoveling those snow. So that I don't mind snow. It's the heart attack snow that now you got to be careful of. So,
yeah, I have to say for the record that this year, I decided to buy myself a snowblower for the first time, and that may have been the greatest investment of my life. So,
wise decision, Rob. That's why you're about to be a doctor. That's exactly why, right there.
That's right. Jeanette would like to know, what's the best part about being a dad?
Ooh, man, that's a lot. That's a great question. A couple things. Just the growth, you know, watching the growth and the maturity. You know, watching your child have success, you know, watching when he or she fails, how do they bounce back from it? You know, are they mentally / physically tough? You know, my son's shoulder popped out of his socket the other day, and, you know, it was like, wow, you know, he kind of fought through that, man. So that was like a proud dad moment, you know. You know, and then the accomplishments, you know, remember 8th grade graduation, super, super proud. You know, finally making a decision on getting close to making a decision on college. So excited to see, you know, what the young man chooses. So just small accomplishments, and when they have success, and then obviously how do they respond when things aren't going their way? You know, so those are some of the things. So yeah, great question.
And our words of wisdom for this week, Coach.
Words of wisdom. You know, one thing I'm always talking to our team about, and this is just something from our program, is just, the guys got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, like, football's hard. Life's going to be a lot harder. Like, get comfortable with that. You know, so I think a lot of times our problem as humans, right, we think things are supposed to be easy. Well, they ain't going to be easy, man. Like, life is tough. There's always going to be a piano getting ready to fall on your head. There's always a trap door somewhere. Like, how do you respond? Get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And so that was the message with the guys this week. And, you know, hopefully, you know, a couple of them listen, and we had an alum come back and talk to the team today, this morning. He's a Secret Service guy, and it was just so cool to kind of see a product, you know, that we had from 2013, graduating 2017, and he's just crushing life right now. And he talked about it, like, and he talked about it with the guys. Guys, life is going to be hard. So, you know, just kind of all tied in to the messaging of, you know, get comfortable being uncomfortable. So,
that is a fantastic word of advice. Coach, thanks for joining us this week.
All right. Thanks for listening.